Hello, She Leaders. Heather Simpson here. I am getting ready for our upcoming event. I know you've been hearing about it here on the podcast, and we'd love for you to check it out with us. If you go to sheigniteconference.com, you will see the entire speaker lineup of incredible women that we have joining us here today. And this is the week of Women's Day on Monday the 8th. So cheers to every single female that listens to this podcast, the people that I know and have had the chance to work with. I just truly am so excited about the work that we're doing together. I love that there's a community of women that are gathering, even though we're online, that we're lifting each other up, that we're there to cheer each other on and to help celebrate the success of each other. Today on the show, we have a guest that is speaking to a topic that is super important for those of us that have to sell in one way or another as part of our business, which is actually a lot more of us than we think. We might not have a specific sales title within our job, but we do have to be representing ourselves and selling ourselves a lot of the time. Who we are, our skill set, we're really going to bat to get those raises, to get the promotion, to kind of work on helping elevate ourselves and have those conversations around sales. And then if you're a business owner, then absolutely you're in sales almost every single day. And the guest that we have today, Nikki, she helps entrepreneurs sell in a way that actually builds relationships and creates true connection, which is what we're all about. So we were really thrilled to have her on the show today and welcome her as the founder of Sales Maven. Nikki transforms the misunderstood process of selling into techniques, tools, and tips that can be successfully incorporated into a process for anyone whose livelihood relies on selling a product, a service, or themselves. Welcome to the show, Nikki Rausch. You're listening to the She Leads Me podcast that has been created for you, the female business owner and leader on her journey. I am your host, Heather Simpson. I went from watching my car be repossessed and living on food stamps to becoming a CEO and eventually building my own business from the ground up. Each week, we interview powerful business owners who have overcome their individual challenges and have built some of the most successful businesses in the world today. Welcome to our community. Hello, Nikki. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me with you today.
Oh, absolutely. I am so thrilled to have you on the podcast today. As I was saying right before we hit record, the topic that you discuss is just so needed right now, especially coming off of 2020, especially amongst women. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do so others can understand what I'm talking about?
Well, I am a sales coach and trainer. And I have an extensive background in sales, corporate sales specifically. I had a lot of success there. So I've been in sales for 25 years. In addition to that, I'm a master certified practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, which if that's a new term, that is really the study of communication. So neuro, the way we process information in our brains, linguistics is the language piece, and then programming of NLP is about habits and patterns. And so really what I do is I teach people how to have more strategic sales conversations and do it in a way that feels very authentic to you as a person and allows for you to move the conversation along so that you can quickly identify, am I talking to a prospective client or not? And how to gracefully end the conversation if that's your choice. And or how do I move somebody through the process where I actually get to the place where we can talk about ways to work together, that I can make an offer, and that I can close the deal. So I really specialize on the language, the conversation piece, and I love specifically working with women on this because women tend to feel like, oh, I don't want to talk about sales. That feels icky, or it feels gross to have to sell something. So I think I take the icky and the gross out of it and teach it in a way that feels kind, credible, and super easy to implement.
And that is exactly what
we are looking for when we're looking for really learning how to develop that sales training aspect of ourselves, right? Because if we're a business owner, we're in sales. There's just like no other way around it. Yep. We are a saleswoman. I have to be able to sell our product or our service. And so what you're talking about is exactly the conversation that we need to hear right now. We need to develop those skills. We need to not be so afraid, and we need to learn how to lean into it in a way that is us and not that feeling of, I don't want to sound like a used car salesman is like typically the feedback that I receive. And I'm sure you've heard so many times.
Absolutely.
So just so powerful that you have the ability and the tools to teach women on how to do this and transform their business with this type of training.
Yeah. I mean, the idea and really why I started my business was I was actually doing something else. I didn't even think about having a business. And I started networking with women for the first time because I came from a very male dominated industry. I was always like the last half of my career, I was the only woman on the sales team, except for one time for less than a year. Like I just was surrounded by men, and I started networking, and I started once I left that industry, I started networking with women in women's groups. And I realized pretty quickly that a lot of women, I love being around women because they're really passionate. They're really kind. They're great collaborators. And many of them just did not understand the sales conversation or the structure of the sales process at all. And so they were either intimidated by it. They were trying to, I often hear people go like, well, I don't want to sell. I just want to educate people, which is a mistake does your business a disservice and frankly does a bigger disservice to potential clients when that's your attitude. Mm-hmm. And so I just started kind of helping some of them on the side, just giving them some little tips and techniques here and there. And finally, somebody pulled me aside and they're like, why aren't you teaching women how to do this? And at the time I was like, well, that's dumb because who would pay me for this? And they're like, no, I think people will pay you for
this. Everyone raises their hand then.
Yeah. So here I am 7 years later and people pay me to learn how to sell in a really authentic, easy, kind way.
Yeah. Take us back to your time of getting into sales. How did you get into sales? I was about to say, like, even if you just kind of happened to come into it, you stayed into it for a long period of time. So it's somewhere along the way, you learned to really love it and enjoy it. Take us on that journey, how you got into sales and what that process was like for you, what that journey was like for you.
My dad and my grandfather owned a tool store. So I grew up working in the tool store. So that was kind of that first place where I understood exchanging like product for money, which so I liked that piece of it. And then when I grew up in Boise, Idaho, and I moved in my early 20s, I think it was 20, I moved to the Seattle area and I got this job and it was like a holiday job. So it was a kiosk at a mall and it was selling leather goods. And they said, and then it was a minimum wage job. So this was many, many years ago. And minimum wage was like, I think it was less than $5 an hour. It was like $4.25 or something. It was crazy low. And this place that hired me, they said, we pay a commission. And I was like, commission, what's that? And they were like, well, you know, you have a certain amount that you have to sell during based on how many hours you work. And then after that, you get a percentage of the sale. And that was the first time where this fire got lit inside me because I was making 2 and 3 times my wage by selling. And I was doing it by having a really good time and having fun conversations with people. And so my first job, actually, while I was still in college, my first professional sales job, I got through a college project. And that was when I learned about like the dialing for dollars type sales, which is not as fun.
Yes, I did that, cold calling.
Cold calling. Moved my way up in that organization. And then my sales career just kind of progressed from there because even though I was still working in this very male-dominated industry, and I realized like I was never going to be like a lot of the guys that I worked around because they had that very authentic to them, but that very like aggressive approach. Like if somebody would say no, they would push back and just did not fit my style. I'm actually quite shy. And so I had to really figure out how could I be successful at this and do it in my own way? And what I found was, for me, it was about building strong relationships and making connections and understanding that sales isn't something that you do to somebody. It's something you do with somebody. Mm. And it got a lot easier and my success rate went up and I was like the top producer at one of the companies I worked for, which is one of the largest companies in the world. And, you know, I was there like in North America, I was their top producer. And it really came from this idea of like, I was going to build strong relationships. And that has just continued on in my career and really served me. So that was like, I felt like a really long answer to your question about like,
no, it's great because it leveraged you into these other, like, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, where you worked with some very notable companies that trusted you to come in and be part of their sales team to promote and sell the different offerings that they have had, right? So it's, I always love hearing like the story of origin because it's nothing ever too like fancy or glamorous, right? It is the $4 an hour like mall kiosk like job at where we get started and learn the core basics and values and principles of where our passions then there within like lie and then how we kind of bring that forward and forge our own path with it. I always love hearing those stories. So it's so great. You then, as we mentioned, moved on into like some working with these really incredible companies. I would still assume male dominant. What was your experience like working around men day in, day out in competitive sales world?
Well, I think I had some advantages going in. One, I was raised by my dad and I have three brothers, so I didn't have a lot of female influence. I mean, I had some growing up, but not as strong as the male influence in my life. And my dad is like realistically the definition of a misogynist. And so I was raised to be pleasant. I was raised to make my way and get along and, you know, not be too loud, not be too obnoxious, not be too girly, like all these things that were looked at as negatives. And so I think that helped me, frankly, in my career of working around all these men because I could be kind of one of the guys. And it wasn't until I started networking with women that I realized, like, I actually love being around other women and I really enjoy that. It always felt like a very different conversation. They wanted to talk about different things and they were more interested in like you as the person versus like, what have you done today or what was your success? So I'm super grateful for all of the experience that I have and with all the men that I have had the privilege of working with. And I've worked with some incredible salespeople in my career that I have learned so much from. And my sales mentor for 20 some years was a, you know, a guy, very guy, like, and I just learned so much from him about, you know, when to leave the emotion out of the conversation and when it's okay to bring some of the emotion into the conversation. Like I just learned all these really great things I think that helped me in my corporate career. But
do you find that women have a hard time with that specific part of it, with the emotion side of the sales conversation?
I think some women do. I think we can take it really personal when we get told no. It feels like rejection, even though it's not, right? Like I teach, it's not being rejected when somebody tells you no. Or I think a lot of times women, and again, because I work with a lot of women now, some of the common themes that come out is oftentimes they'll hold themselves back from putting an offer out into the market because they're afraid of what somebody is going to say, or somebody's going to think about like, how dare she, or who does she think she is? And I don't get that with my, and I still have some male clients, but I don't get that with my male clients. They don't ever worry about like, oh, people are going to think, how dare he give me this offer? How dare he try to sell to me? And I deal with this a lot with women of like, it's absolutely okay for you to put an offer out into the market. It's absolutely okay for you to ask for somebody's business, you know, and that you can do it in a really kind way that doesn't have to be aggressive and pushy and gross. So I do find that women tend to struggle and hold themselves back based on judgment and fear of rejection.
So you're not just talking about like tactical sales training. You're also speaking to the mindset aspect of women in sales and like you mentioned, handling rejection. So it's a really fully robust process. When we think about sales, we typically think about like when we're in it, right? Like not necessarily the prospecting, but like when we're actually having that conversation, when we're making the pitch, when we're trying to close them, we're not really thinking about the before or the after. But it sounds like you carry people through the entire journey.
Yes.
And through the varying, like I just mentioned, that mindset piece, if that is a big barrier of women holding themselves back by being afraid to be seen or being afraid of rejection or what other people think. This is a like full transformation we're talking about here.
Yeah, I think you have to be very protective of your mindset. And so I do a lot of work on mindset. And actually, I did a whole podcast, like on my own podcast, I did a podcast mm-hmm. episode where I talk about protecting your sales mindset. And I actually share very candidly there things that I do that sometimes when I say them to clients, like here are some of the things that I do, I've had people almost gasp like, oh my gosh, really? And I'm like, yes, I'm super protective of my mindset because I know that if I let things get into my head about like, oh, so-and-so is going to see my offer and she's going to think this about me, or so-and-so is going to go like, how dare Nikki like raise her prices or any of that kind of stuff, like it will keep me stuck. And my objective is to teach sales to as many people as who want to learn it, as many people who will benefit. Like my ultimate goal is to make a big impact in allowing for people to also make a big impact in their own lives with their own families and in their own communities. And I know that by teaching people how to sell strategically, that happens. And so like the mission is bigger than my own, like, oh, what if she's going to think like, wow, Nikki's such a jerk, or, oh, Nikki thinks she's all that. Like I have to get out of that. And I have to be really protective of my mindset because of it. So I teach a lot about mindset too.
That, yeah. You know,
I will say that's one piece of the selling process, but it starts with mindset, period. Like you don't have your head in the right spot. If you don't have your mindset in the right place, if you're not managing your internal state on a regular basis, you will find yourself like going down the rabbit hole and getting yourself into this like negative self-talk.
Right.
It's not going to serve you or your clients, frankly.
Right. Right. Yeah. In so many areas, in addition to sales, right? Mindset is the foundation of it all.
Yes.
Hey, She Leaders, Heather Simpson here. I want to take a moment to invite you to come join us for our virtual conference coming up on March 19th, She Ignites. And what is She Ignites all about? Why are we even doing this? She Ignites has been created and crafted and built for you, the female business owner, the female leader, the female on her journey to finding that inner strength that we know needs to be reignited. It's no secret that 2020 and beyond has been a challenging time for us all. We've had to make shifts. We've had to do things that we didn't think we'd have to do. We've had to adjust in our careers. We've had to make changes in our businesses. And we've left 2020 feeling a little bit depleted, a little run down, and maybe hopeful of the year ahead, hopeful that we're making some changes for the better, and hopeful to not necessarily resume business as normal. So what we're doing is we're creating a place for women in leadership to gather. We're creating a place for female business owners to reconnect with their vision and their alignment for the future. We are here to come together to ignite our inner strength. And we've curated the most unique virtual event experience with you in mind. Ladies, this isn't your typical Zoom event, and we have made a commitment to leave no minute behind and make the promise to you to make this a powerful, impactful, and fun event. We're live streaming from a studio here in the Pacific Northwest with high quality production team and amazing quality sound and imagery. We have an epic DJ that will have us dancing through the day. How amazing does that sound? And we have four incredible world-class speakers with topics and truth that are straight fire. All of that topped with the most kick-ass community of women around. This is an event that you are sure not to miss. We'd love to welcome you to join us for our annual conference, She Ignites, March 19th, 2021. Go to sheignitesconference.com for all of your information and to register and get your place to sign up. We look forward to seeing you there.
So let's say I'm new coming to you and I am loving what I'm hearing and I'm like, I don't know all of the things that I need help with, but I know I need help. Nikki, how do you help me? What does that look like? Is this like, do I do this with a group of people? Are we working together one-on-one? Is the best place for me to start listening to your podcast? What does this look like when we work together?
So I work with clients really in three ways. So I have private coaching clients where that's one-on-one. That's where everything is tailored to you. You have access to me, you know, I'm helping you structure your messaging, your emails, your conversations, all of the stuff that goes into sales, making sure you're asking the right questions that lead people to hiring you and all, you know, creating curiosity, all of that. The second thing is my Sales Maven Society. That's my membership platform. And that's where the majority of my training is housed. That's where people do get access to me in a group setting where I go live with them, you know, twice a month, where they can actually ask me questions and I'm giving them suggestions and strategies and techniques. And then we have a private Facebook group. So that's the Sales Maven Society. And then the third way is I offer master classes. And so I teach one master class a quarter and they're topic, you know, specific. So I have one coming up in February that's called The Language of Sales. You know, the one after that is around your email sequences. And, you know, so I have these four master classes that I teach every year. So those are really the three main ways that people work with me: private, the membership, and then taking a masterclass.
Excellent. And then you also have a podcast. You said that people can, in the interim, if there's maybe not a masterclass in the near future, and they don't want to wait till the next quarter, they can plug into your podcast.
Yes. Podcast is I do individual episodes where I'm actually teaching a technique or strategy. And then I do on-air coaching calls with the people from my membership. So that is a really great opportunity for people to go like, I get to be the fly on the wall and I don't, you know, I'm not on the hot seat, but I get to listen to the advice that's given. And then I do sales success stories where I bring in clients that talk about, here's how I applied this technique and here's what it did for my business, which also people love the sales success stories because they go like, ooh, I could totally do that. Or I see how this person who maybe was super uncomfortable with sales now feel so much more confident in this one area of their business and they're getting these incredible results. I can do that too.
Yeah. Oh, fun. That sounds great. I'm excited to plug in and hear what you have to offer. We, as a company that serves women of both being business owners and in leadership, this topic comes up for us a lot. This is a constant revolving door of the various different aspects of learning about themselves in this process, really learning to develop stronger muscles in areas that maybe haven't ever been developed or haven't been worked in a little while, and especially coming off a year with so much transition where people have really had to, you know, stop the cruise control and really take control of what's happening and get back to some of the basics in their business to make sure that we can all sustain in this crazy time. How, if any, have your conversations changed with what's happened and transpired in 2020?
Well, I think one of the biggest transformations, and I think a lot of people hopefully will relate to this, is that there were a lot of my clients who were convinced that they could only do their work in like physically being in the same location as their clients. And with many of them, we have figured out how to take that offer and make it work in an online setting or in a Zoom setting, right? Or whatever your platform is that you're going to use. As a matter of fact, I just taught this to a bunch of financial planners, or not financial, yeah, financial planners who are a big organization that just hired me, like how to teach people to still connect, but do it virtually and still build rapport. And it can be done. A lot of things can still be done. And so being able to take the things that worked that you thought, oh, this can only happen in person, and apply those to your online meetings. That has been, I think, the biggest transformation, and stuff that we've gotten really clear with many of my clients about how to do that, where, you know, a year ago, they didn't think it was possible.
Right. Yeah. So again, another like mindset shift of things aren't going back to quote normal. We've got to adapt with the times. And instead of saying can't, really look for the how can we? Because we don't have any other options right now.
Yeah. And finding like being able to be creative about the way that you put content out into the market, the way that you talk about what's going on, the way that you can be really thoughtful and respectful about where people are and the challenges that they're having, and still sell through it. Because that's been one of the other kind of big challenges. I think people initially, they were like, I can't put an offer out in the market. People are freaking out. Like, we're all in this like terrible situation. And, you know, of teaching people that you can absolutely still sell and sell with, you know, kindness and with care for other people. And that there are still people out there that absolutely need what you have to offer. And it's really your responsibility to make it easy for them to buy from you.
Right. So if we had, let's say we have people tune, well, let's not say, we do have people that tune into the podcast. They're listening right now. They're going, okay, this all sounds so great. So what would be like maybe a couple of like top tips to like get started, or like, you know, there's so much for you to dive into with people, but if we have listeners tuning in, they're wanting to increase their sales skills, what would be the top couple of things that you would suggest to somebody to implement right away into their business?
That feels like such a big question, and I have so many answers, but I am going to give you just a couple of tips.
I think as I was saying it, I was like, this is probably a little bit bigger than
a couple of. But it's a great question. And if you really like, if I get down to the core of simplifying in the most simplest terms, here's what it's going to be. Tip one, you have to learn how to create curiosity, because curiosity opens the door for people to want to hear more about what it is that you offer. And you can create curiosity online. You can create curiosity in your emails. You can create curiosity in your conversations with prospects and even existing clients. Learning how to create curiosity is crucial to your success. And I teach a 5-step process to selling, and it's called the selling staircase. And creating curiosity is step two, and it is the most missed step in the selling staircase. And the reason that you're not talking to as many people as you want to, 9 times out of 10, it's because you don't understand how to create curiosity for somebody to go like, Heather, tell me more about that. Like, oh, what does that mean? Or like, Heather, that's so interesting. Is that something I should be thinking about? So you have to be able to create curiosity. That's tip one. And if you want me to dig into that too, let me know and I'll happily go deeper. Tip two is that you have to make it easy for people to buy from you. Too many people out there are putting up lots of roadblocks. And when I say roadblocks, it's things like, get on a call if you're interested in this, and then I'll tell you how to buy it. No, put a link in there and let them pay for it if they're ready to buy. If somebody says, okay, I'm ready to do this, don't say like, wait, slow down. Let me, you know, I need you to fill out this questionnaire before I can take your money, or I need you to sign this, you know, contract before I can take your money. No, if people are ready to buy, make it easy for them, be willing to take that order and take it right now. So you have to simplify the process. I had a client one time who was like, I'm not allowed to ask for the sale until the third meeting. And I was like, what? Let's break down your process. And I showed her how in that meeting, we could get through all of the things that she needed to get through and ask for the sale. And it can all happen in the one meeting. It's just, she needed a process for it that was more effective. And instead, she was asking people to like jump through hoops and schedule 2 more hours with her before she even initiated a way for them to buy from her. So got to get really clear on that.
Right.
And then the third tip is, and maybe this still goes around like with the second tip, is that you have to ask for the sale. You just do. And asking for the sale is a yes or no question. And most people they get really like either nervous when they get to the place where it's time to ask for the sale, and they they'll ask the question, but then they keep talking. That's called selling mm-hmm. past the close, and it's a huge mistake. Or they'll never actually get the question out of their mouth. And so examples of asking for a sale would be, let's say I lay out an offer to you and then I say, Heather, is that something you'd be interested in? This is a yes or no question. This mm-hmm. is me in a really kind way saying, Heather, make a decision, yes or no. And so your brain oftentimes will not make that decision for you until the question is posed. Like, you may actually never decide to buy from me until I ask you a very direct question, which being very direct doesn't mean you have to say, do you want to buy this? Yes or no? Like, that's maybe mm-hmm. a little too direct, mm-hmm. but you could say, is this something you're interested in moving forward with? Mm-hmm. Is this something you'd like to go ahead and get ordered? Is yeah. this something that we should get scheduled your first session? Like, whatever that is, but it's a yes or no question. And so you have to ask for the sale.
Great. So good. I know that the people that are driving and listening to this are like pulling over and taking notes or marking this to listen again. Thank you so much for those. Those are really great. I mean, we need to plug people into the things that you have to offer. You also have a free offer for our listeners. Would you mind telling us about that?
I'd be happy to. So the free offer is my ebook on closing the sale. And so it kind of talks through some of the last three steps in the selling staircase, the discovery, the proposal, and the close. So it gives very specific language. It's all about building confidence. And your listeners can go download that right now by going to yoursalesmaven, MAVEN.com/SheLeads. So yoursalesmaven.com/SheLeads. And then you can download that. I will email it to you, and it's packed full of tips and techniques around building your confidence and closing the sale.
I can't wait to get my hands on it, and we'll link it in the show notes as well for our listeners to just click right from there so that you can download your copy right away. Nikki, thank you so much for your time on the show today. We really greatly appreciate it. I would love to wrap up with a couple of questions that I like to ask our guests. The first one is, on your journey, as we've talked about mindset a lot today, you know, we understand here and we speak about it a lot where we can only grow in our successes to the level that we're growing individually. And so on that path, right, there might be a lot of contributing factors to our growth, books, podcasts, webinars, a documentary you've seen. I'm wondering, what are your maybe top couple of things that have been transformational for you on your journey that's really made an impact in your life and in your growth journey?
Well, I'm a lifelong learner and I am totally committed to personal and professional growth. So I will say three things off the top of my head that I think have made a dramatic impact. One is, I love the book, The Go-Giver. That felt yes. like, that was right kind of when I was thinking about starting my business. And I was like, yes, that's what I like. That is the kind of selling that I do. That's the kind of selling I want people to know and understand about. So The Go-Giver is mm-hmm. one of my favorite books. Podcasts, you know, I've had incredible, incredible coaching as I've been on my own entrepreneurial journey. And I could name all of my coaches, but I'm going to name two of them. And both of them have very successful podcasts. So this is a way for you to check them out. So the first was Natalie Ekdahl of Biz Chicks. She has been an incredible mentor, an incredible coach, game changer. And she's just, frankly, she is one of the most incredible women I have ever met. She's just a really good person and she changes people's lives and businesses in big, big ways. So Biz Chicks, Natalie Ekdahl, and it's B-I-Z-C-H-I-X is how you'll find her podcast. And then my current coach that I've worked with for the last couple of years, and it's about growing my membership, is Shane Sams from The Flipped Lifestyle. And Shane also has a new podcast called Membership Masters. Him and his wife have, him and Jocelyn Sams, who I actually was a big, big fan of Jocelyn Sams for many years. And when I finally met her, I was like fangirled all over her, which was super embarrassing, but she teases me about it now. Yeah. And so I've been coaching with them and specifically with Shane for the last couple of years. And he's just absolutely incredible. He's made big changes in my business and in my mindset and in my life. And I'm just so grateful for these people.
Yeah. Having a solid coach and mentor is so key to the growth. And anybody that has made it to any next level always attributes it to having someone else have eyes on your business, give you feedback that you can't see. I'm so glad you brought that up today because it's something that we talk about a lot. And it's always great to hear that echoed by other successful people that are, you know, doing that as well and using that as a practice in their business. The last question for you, I know you gave us your top tips for sales on your journey. And as you've launched from, you know, the quote safety net of working for another corporation and launching into your own thing, if you had a couple of tips of advice for women that are on that same journey that you were on, that are making those big leaps, that are maybe even a little bit afraid, or maybe they're making those leaps because they don't have any other options, what advice would you give to our listeners that are on that journey as well?
The first thing I will say is seek out mentors. And, you know, it's interesting because I have this conversation with people a lot. I think sometimes people think, oh, Nikki goes to somebody and says, will you be my mentor? And they say, yes. That's actually not true. I've never had that conversation with any of my mentors. But what I do is I look for people who know how to do something or that I don't know how to do or are doing something that I really aspire to do better, that are doing it really, really well. And I'm a little bit picky about it too. Like, I want to make sure this person is legit. I don't follow a lot of people. So the people I do follow, I feel really strongly passionate about. Like, they're sincere. They're really walking their talk. So I think it's important to find the people who walk their talk, not people who are saying like, you know, don't build an email list, but come sign up for my email list and I'm going to teach you how to build all this other business somewhere else. I hate that stuff. So seek out your mentor. I think find your mentor. And then find the people who are kind of maybe in a similar spot to where you are on your journey, maybe aren't in the exact same business, but want to have some accountability, want to grow with you and encourage you and share their resources that they're learning about. And you share your resources that you're learning about. So it's find your people. I think that's really important. And those don't have to be mentors, but people who are in a similar spot. It's hard to have an accountability partner who's, you know, bringing in $500,000 a year and you're like, I can't even break 100,000. Like, I don't think that's a good fit, but find somebody who's in a similar place and who has similar, like, aspires to grow to where you want to grow, and spend time with those people and connect and share and be collaborative.
Yes. Excellent. Nikki, thank you so much for your time today. Where can people find you online? Where are your favorite platforms that you are a part of that we can go give you a follow?
Well, I tend to hang out a lot on Facebook, but really only inside my membership group. So that's the Sales Maven Society. And you do have to be a member to be in the group, but that's where I spend most of my time. And then I'm also on Instagram, so you can find me under Your Sales Maven there, or just Sales Maven. And then on LinkedIn, I spend some time on LinkedIn too. So
excellent. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I'm really thrilled for our listeners to jump to action. You gave us so many great tips that they can just take and implement right away. I'm looking forward to watching people just make it happen for themselves. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the She Leads Me podcast. To check out more information about our upcoming event, She Ignites, we'd love for you to check out our website at sheignitesconference.com. There you can find all of the information about the details of the day, the speakers, the topics, and how to register. We look forward to seeing you there.